This is episode 3 with Julie Morgenstern, author of Time to Parent, who is here today to share her method of balancing work, parenting, relationships, and self-care. Welcome to Conversations with Yvette. I'm your host, Yvette Jane, mom of two, yoga teacher, and blogger. In each episode, we bring you advice from parenting experts or real talk from other parents to help you keep calm through the ups and downs of parenting. Thanks for spending some time with us. Now let's tune in. You know, we're all busy moms, whether you're a stay-at-home mom or you work full-time in an office or you work for yourself. And I know that we want to do all the things, like all the things in life, and manage our children, our home, and our work and our relationships. So thank you so much for joining us.
I'm delighted to be here and talk with you.
So first of all, can you explain like the four time management skills that you've described in your book?
Yes. So parenting is a juggling act. We know that. You said all the things, and maybe in a little bit we're going to go from all the things to a more narrow set, which kind of helps contain it. But to switch between all the things we have to do, we need a certain set of skills. I've been a time management coach for 30 years, and there are dozens and dozens of time management skills. But there are four of all the skills in the world that I think are specific and particular to give parents the agility to manage and switch between the many different roles they have to play: work, kids, self, relationships. So what are they? The first one is to develop the art of selective perfectionism. Perfectionism, we all want to do a great job. I think it just goes with the parent profile, which is you're trying to do an amazing thing. You're trying to raise another human. Plus, you're trying to manage your career and manage your relationships, your adult relationships, and you want to do everything amazingly well. But there's no way that we can do so many different things at this extraordinary level of perfection. It's paralyzing. It gets us stuck, right? So if you're trying to balance work and parenting and you're a perfectionist, it's really hard to wrap your day in a bow because you get so stuck on a project and no, I have to get it perfect. Now you can't end your day and you can't shift gears and be with your kids. Or with your kids, you can feel like, oh my God, the birthday party has to be perfect. I have to bake everything from scratch and hand make the favors. And it has to be so unique and so memorable, and this kid is going to remember this for the rest of his life, right? So that's a very paralyzing and it's crushing. So one of the big ideas for perfectionism that I teach that breaks the all or nothing mindset of perfectionism, because isn't that what perfectionism is?
Absolutely.
It's all or nothing. Mm-hmm. It's like black and white. Amazing, or this was a disaster. Mm-hmm. There's nothing in between. So I developed this technique years ago with clients who just got so stuck with this. And I said, wait, no, there's shades of gray here. But how do you define them? So for any task that you're about to embark on that threatens to monopolize your time at the expense of everything else on your plate, ask yourself before you start the task with a paper and pen to first define three levels of performance for this task. What is the maximum you could do? Like that perfect, amazing version. What's the minimum you could do? And what is the moderate? So it's max, min, mod, right? Mm-hmm. Think about that. It's a hard thing to do. Most people are just like, I don't know. There's only the best and awful. No, so let's do the birthday party example. So your kid's birthday is coming up. It's during the school year. What's the maximum you could do?
Oh, gosh. You could personalize the invitations, bake the cake yourself, connect with all the guests yourself and get them excited about it and have them attend. make sure you email everybody's reminders, coordinate all logistics with the religious party planning, get all the confetti, all the giveaways, you DIY.
Yeah, there you go.
I say that because I've done that.
Yes, and so has every listener, I am sure.
Yeah, I've also done the bare minimum.
So what's the minimum?
Yeah, you, what is the minimum? You hand it off to, you know, New York Kids Club or Kidville or one or Chelsea Piers, and you say, here you go, this is what I want.
There you go. And then what's the moderate?
Yeah, you could host at a playhouse, or even you could host outside, but you can hire entertainment. Mm-hmm. You could, you know, go easy, do the paperless post, but maybe put a picture of your son there, personalize it a little bit, but then, you know, just take the list of people you want to send it to, invite people, maybe have a friend or your mom help you with giveaways, or just buy on Amazon.com. Just easy. Yeah. Make it easy.
There you go. So you just define three levels. And by doing that, you can then, and looking that on paper, mm-hmm. you can then look at this moment in time with everything else going on in the family, with everything going on in your work, whatever this moment in time situation is, you can decide which level this time. Mm-hmm. And that gives you those choices, right? So that's min, mod, max. It gives you options. It's like a variety. It's an accordion mm-hmm. of level. So anyway, that's only one of the one of them.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Because at this moment now could change. Like, maybe this is a really tough year or tough couple of years. And then maybe when you have a little bit more time to dedicate, then you can go all out and do it another day, another birthday. Yeah,
that's exactly right. Yeah. Like, that's right. Life is dynamic. Kids mm-hmm. change. Your own circumstances change. Your own energy. Somebody's feeling sick. Somebody is feeling energized. Somebody's visiting, and now you can really, like, get some hands-on help. So that's right. It's not all or nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome.
So that's only one of the skills. Okay. So, okay, I'll try to stay high level.
Yeah.
So selective perfectionism with max, mod, min is one of the most helpful skills. Another really critical skill for parents is to resist the lure of technology. We use technology for everything. It invades our lives, and we use it so many different ways. We use it to get things done. We use it to stay connected to people because we feel very isolated. Mm-hmm. So we're always on it, like that's our little bit of social gateway. We use it to entertain our kids and keep them busy while we have other things to do. And it is so addictive, and it is the single biggest barrier to being present and calm. I mean, you're all about being calm, and studies show it agitates us. Mm-hmm. It actually has an effect on our nerves. You know, we feel like we're missing something, and we feel like we're not good enough, and we feel we're never at the bottom of the list, and it actually has a physiological effect on our nerves. So you have to just become really like what I call a media mentor in your household as a parent. And you have to develop really conscious rules and guidelines and values about when we use technology and when we don't. It's not all or nothing there either. It's not we're never looking at a screen, but it's not that we're always on whenever anybody wants to. Mm-hmm. So that's resisting the lure of technology. Second skill. Third skill is, this is a big one. People really love this. I think it's so hard to switch gears from like adult mode to child mode, from work to family, mm-hmm. from family back to work, from family to self time. It's like switching gears is just, it's so difficult.
That's a lot of multitasking.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And what happens when you multitask, honestly?
You get distracted.
Yeah, you get distracted. You feel like you're starting many things, finishing none. Mm-hmm. There's no sense of completion or gratification or, wow, that's done, which we all thrive mm-hmm. on, right? We thrive on getting things done. Okay, so I think one of the best things that we can do to balance is to learn to make very mindful transitions between the different departments of our lives. Mm-hmm. And how do you make a mindful transition? You're a yoga person, so you're all about presence in the moment, right? When you are. So I think it's to take a beat, like 5 minutes, before you cross any threshold and set your intention for the other side of that door.
Hmm. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
I mean, just that one act. So just that act, 5 minutes before I cross the threshold, what do I want to achieve on the other side of that door? Who am I spending it with and what do I want to achieve? Is it my work? I want to get that proposal done or that website done. And I'm going to stay focused. I'm going to do this for 2 hours and I'm out. Mm-hmm. Or am I going to go and see my kids? I'm going to wake them up in the morning. What is my intention on the other side of the door? Wake them up with a big smile and a lot of love and not like, hurry up, we're late. Mm-hmm. Get out of the hot bed. So setting your intention will really help you be much more present in each small burst of time that you have, which is really the texture of parenting, mm-hmm. right? Parenting is about small bursts of time delivered to lots of different things. Mm-hmm. And by making those mindful transitions, you can be fully present. And then when we are present, we are so much more effective. I mean, we just are. You need less time when you're doing things fully present. Right? Mm-hmm. It just, 20 minutes with somebody undivided can feel like a whole weekend away mm-hmm. if you're fully present and engaged. Mm-hmm. So those mindful transitions help with presence. I think it's very powerful. And it's a simple act.
So this mindful transition is you, like, just taking a moment for yourself, resetting the intention, or is it taking a breath? Is it for, like, meditation for some people? Is that what you mean? Or
It could be. I think it's more a reflection, mm-hmm. right? So think about it this way. We're always running as parents. We're running from one thing to another. We're putting our kids to bed, and then we're, like, coming out, and then we're, oh, my God, we got to spend time with our spouse, but we also have to finish the dishes. We have to figure out what's tomorrow's plan. And, oh, my God, we have to finish that work that we never finished because we had to leave the office to pick the kids up, blah, blah, blah. Your mind is always going. Mm-hmm. When you carry over what you were, wherever you were, into the new space, you lose. You're not present with the new activity because mm-hmm. you're still carrying over. Oh, mm-hmm. I yelled at the kids this morning, so now you're not really focused at work. Or... So wherever we're switching. So it's really literally, it's that habit we have of rushing from one thing to another and not making a mental switch mm-hmm. that dilutes the next activity, which then we don't feel satisfied. Mm-hmm. Then we leave that, we go to the next activity, feeling regretful that we didn't do that last one well. Mm-hmm. So we're not really present in the next thing. And it's like you're always, your mind's not where you should be. Mm-hmm. So it's literally like 5 minutes or... I have a lot of clients who do this, that they just change the way they go home from work at night. Yeah. And on their commute home, they used to be on their devices the whole time as they were walking through the door, finishing the last of their emails or notes or whatever. They stop doing that and they make a transition during their commute. And they put their phone away at least 15 or 20 minutes before they get home. Mm-hmm. And they get centered and they take that time for themselves. So now they have self-time, mm-hmm. and they cleanse their mind and their palate, and then before they cross the threshold to home, they go, okay, I'm about to go and see my family for the first time all day. What is my intention?
Perfect.
It's good. Fourth one. So what do we have? We had perfectionism, technology. We had mindful transitions. Okay, the last big skill for a parent that will help you do this job is to build a village and learn to delegate.
Yes.
It's really hard to do.
Yes. I feel like the families now, especially, I mean, I live in New York, you live in New York, and families are a little bit different because we're not in like a community where it's like a neighborhood and you can just go to your neighbor and drop your kids off and say, you take care of them, and then the next time I'll take care of you when you're busy. I have lucky. I've actually found one or two moms I feel comfortable enough that I could do that with. Yeah. But I feel like it's a lot harder in the city versus in the suburbs. I mean, what do you think?
I'm not sure that that's true, that it's easier in the suburbs. Okay. I think it's more a... I think it's two things. I think one is we as parents have to recognize that we are not the only people who can provide our kids with what they need. Mm-hmm. That, and it's better, just like it's better for us to have multiple relationships rather than depending all on one person mm-hmm. for our entire happiness. But to have like a mixture of people, right? That sort of takes the pressure off any one person, makes you feel a little more secure. That's actually true for kids. Mm-hmm. And the wider their village with other adults and other kids and their teachers, and, you know, to think about your family as beyond the walls of your own home, the better it is for kids and the better it is for you. We as parents get emotional support, logistical support. It's really helpful. I think in the suburbs, people can be really isolated too. Really isolated. Yeah, they're in cars. True. They're not walking down the street. I think we all have this 1950s image in our heads of when kids... I grew up that way. Like, you could sort of... theoretically, you could run out into the street and there were always kids playing at night. We played, you know, in the street.
Yeah, actually, I think maybe I'm just going to my childhood.
To your own childhood. But, you know, if you think about it, was it really all neighbors or was there like a core group of three to five families?
There was a core group.
That's You're what right. it is. And it felt like a world to you as a kid. And I do think that's what the village is. Yeah. Don't look for a village of a dozen families. It's too hard to organize. I really think somewhere between like one or two other families and, you know, five. It's three, five. That's plenty. And that's enough for people to get to know each other, really build trust, have a good exchange, be super kind of both organized and also be able to be spontaneous about it. And it's a relationship. So it's not so many.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. So you talk about an acronym, PART, P-A-R-T. And I'm wondering, how can we do our part as parents?
So as parents, I know when I was raising my daughter, I was like desperate for an instruction manual. I was just like, where's the manual that's going to tell me how to divide my time between, I had to work, I had to make money, I had to keep the house organized and like get her to school on time. I had to spend time with her and I had to teach her. So all this stuff. And so anyway, I kind of came up with this really simple way to think about what we have to juggle our time between. There's four things we as parents have to spend our time on in order to raise happy, healthy kids. Four different kinds of things that take time, right? Because it's a time management, juggling act. What do we have to juggle our time between? There's four things. PART, P-A-R-T, spells the acronym like doing our part. So P is for provide. We have to provide for our kids, right? Make happy, healthy kids. You've got to work, make and manage money. You have to, A is for arrange. You have to arrange the logistics of your kid's life. Where are they going to go to school? What are they going to have for lunch? How are they going to get places? All of that, right? We have to relate to our kids, which is really that what we all think of as quality time. It's that one, it's getting to know your kids for the unique individuals you happen to be in the position to raise. Who is this human? And they're all different, right?
They're all different.
And getting to know them is about relating to them so that they feel seen and known and understood, which gives them the confidence to go out in the world, really recognized for their individuality. And then the T is for teach. We have to teach our kids. We're responsible for teaching them like values and life skills so they can go out in the world and be successful. So P-A-R-T, provide, arrange, relate, teach. Those are the four things we have to spend our time on.
Awesome. And it's a big job. Each and every one of those is a big job.
It is. Each and every one is a big job. And we're not all naturally skilled or prepared for each of those. And I think it's really helpful when you break it down to recognize who on earth is good at all four of those. Nobody. Nobody. And that can sort of take away a little bit of that false expectation we have that we're supposed to be great at everything. You're not. These are such different sets of skills. Now, we have to do all four, whether we are naturally good at it or not. And the book helps guide parents to go, oh, okay, I got these two down. I know how to do those. But these two, how do I do that? And how do I do it in a way that takes the least amount of time and has the highest impact? Because nothing can take too long.
And so you said naturally we get into this mentality of, you know, maybe one partner in a partnership, one partner might feel more masculine, be like the provider, the breadwinner. Another partner maybe naturally more the caretaker, or they just don't have a choice, really. So then they end up with having that job. And so how can we, or how can they negotiate so that they divvy up this provider, relator, teacher, and arranger dynamic so that everyone can have a piece? And for, you know, I'm going to say men, but it's really, you know, for same-sex couples, it's really more the masculine energy or the provider energy to kind of step back and give time to provide, because that's what you do well. But then also try the things you're not so, or maybe you think you're not so good at, like relating.
Yeah.
And so maybe the other partner can try the other space too. And I feel like when that happens, when both parties in that particular partnership can have access to all four of these things, they understand each other better, they communicate better, they relate better themselves. You know, there's a synergy.
I agree with you. The partnership itself feels like a true partnership rather than a divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Divide and conquer can really build resentment and somebody feeling cheated and also somebody feeling less good about themselves. Mm-hmm. And I also think that it makes us each feel whole as parents. That when we divide and conquer, we don't feel as whole. Like, oh, I'm the disciplinarian.
Right.
And you're the one who gets to have fun with the kids. Mm-hmm. That's the teacher and relator. When you divide and conquer that, nobody really likes that. And even the person who's just relating feels, I'm kind of falling short on being a teacher. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel good about that. Mm-hmm. So I think first recognize that I think we as humans all want to be whole. And we also gravitate toward what we're good at and away from what we are not as confident doing. And there's a lot of programming also from society. Mm-hmm. Like, you are right. I mean, this is really
generational.
There's generational stuff. So there's two places if we go down this masculine feminine energy thing. Mm-hmm. If we dare. The traditional male role was provider, teacher. Mm-hmm. And the traditional female role was arranger, kept the house organized, mm-hmm. kept everything in order, and the relator, the nurturer. I really believe that when parents don't know how to, that nurturing piece, it's because they don't do it. It's because they don't know how. Mm-hmm. And they are so intimidated and they want to be there with their kids.
Yeah.
They want to connect, but they're like, I don't know how to do this. Mm-hmm. Right? People who are high arrangers, by the way, also can have trouble with relating. Mm-hmm. High providers, high arrangers. So how do you do it? I just listened to a podcast with, there's a podcast called Death, Sex, and Money. Do you know that?
No.
At WNYC.
Okay.
And Jose Andres, mm-hmm. who's the chef who mm-hmm. fed the island of Puerto Rico and mm-hmm. I just was listening. He was just saying he Googled how to be a parent when he had kids because it's like, where's the manual? And he didn't know how to nurture because he didn't get nurtured. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing. If you're not nurtured as a kid, how do you know how to do it? So you just have to learn. And I would say, and the book teaches, like, I'll tell you one thing. Nurturing also, I think I was very intimidated by that, even as a woman. I was like the big fixer, I'm an organizer, and like I am very task oriented. So nurturing is not so task oriented. It's like, what do you do? It's not something you can check off a list. You're spending time. So I kind of really did a deep dive study on that with the experts. So it's really quite simple that relating is about entering your child's world and looking at the world through your child's eyes. And you can do that by talking to them about any topic of interest to them, right? It's got to be things of interest to your child, not your agenda. It's like whatever stupid thing they want to do, boring thing they want to do, talk about over and over again, which sometimes you want to shoot yourself. Don't try to enjoy the activity. It's what you want to do is study your child's relationship to that activity and just listen and learn. So tell me more about that. Or like they're playing this game. It's like, what is it that you like about this game? Why do you like this game so much? What's funny about it? Or what's fun about it? What's so you can talk, play, read with your kids. You could share adventures, but make sure that you're not trying to play the role of teacher in that. Mm. You're the student. Mm. You are the student when you're relating to your children and doing any of those activities. How do they think? What's interesting? What cracks them up? What engages them?
And they're so excited.
They are, oh my God, they love when you enter their world. Don't we all?
Oh my gosh. I mean, my house is a disaster after we enter their world. Yesterday, it's like forks everywhere and like Star Wars, and it was fun, yeah.
And it's fun for all of us, if you think about this is just human nature, for anybody to enter our worlds and ask us questions about ourselves and let us show them what we like to do rather than always being the student, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you navigate this with a partner where things have been divided? I'd start by having a conversation, like a very non-judgmental, not I need anything, not you need to fix this and do more housework, which is really what's probably behind the whole thing. But, you know, let's talk about how we have discovered and how we are divvying up this job of parenting, which we just fell into. There wasn't very organized. We sort of fell to certain roles. And in some ways that may be a strength to play to our strengths, but in other ways it undermines us. And let's talk about that. Take the book out. You know, talk about the part formula and say, when we divide and conquer, how does that get in the way of... Mm-hmm. How's that hurt the kids? Mm-hmm. And how does that hurt us? That's really the question.
Yeah. Because also we're modeling for them the dynamic which they'll pass on to their families eventually. And yeah, I found like divide and conquer, it works, it may work well in an office setting.
Yeah.
But at home, it's not the most ideal.
No, it's not. Even a stay-at-home parent has a vital part of themselves that wants to still use their talents and skills mm-hmm. for some good in the world, not just be mm-hmm. use all their talents and skills for the parenting role. It doesn't work. Mm-hmm. You have creativity or you have interests and you have a mind and you want to utilize that and not let it go shrivel up and die or pour it all into fancy meals. Like, who cares about that stuff? So yeah, I think the thing is, if you really start from that neutral place, is look, we came into this with the best of intentions. Mm-hmm. We married each other, we love each other, and we were, you know, we got the partner thing down as a couple. And then this like being parents together, and we haven't had a roadmap. So we've fallen into patterns that are, I think, not so healthy for the kids. Because what they're seeing, and they only get, like, every kid wants both parents to understand them, not just one. Mm-hmm. Every kid wants both parents to feel fulfilled in their work, mm-hmm. not just one. Every kid wants that. Mm-hmm. Every kid wants both parents to guide them and teach them. Right?
It's true.
And the arrange piece, which is where women really get trapped. They do. They get trapped in that yep. corner and they can't get out mm-hmm. and they can't calm their minds and they're not free to relate either with their kids or their spouse, by the way. There's a high cost, mm-hmm. a high cost to the woman or one person in the house taking on the lion's share of those logistics. High cost. Mm-hmm. There's a high cost to the relationship. And in my research, and anecdotally, it makes total sense, and every, you know, you can relate to it. But there's also studies have shown that couples who share the housework actually have more sex.
Did you hear that, folks?
Okay. Couples who share the housework have more sex. And this is what share means, which is really interesting. That the man does 65% or more of the housework. Even a working. And how do you do it? So that may sound unfair, right? Like, if you have a... Well, first of all, if you have two working parents, for sure. Mm-hmm. But even if you have a stay-at-home parent and a mm-hmm. working parent, I'm telling you that this is the data. Why? Because it's just too much of an emotional and logistical burden for one person to do. Mm-hmm. It's humanly impossible for one person to handle all those logistics. It is not one person's job. I don't even think it's two people's job. The logistics of running a household are so complex and so tedious, so time consuming. And I'm it's more than two people's job.
And I'm glad that you mentioned the emotional piece, because I think that's where, as a society, we don't put enough value on the emotional piece that goes into running a household and raising children. So if it's all in the one, she is physically drained, but she's like far more emotionally drained. Yeah. And she's the one who's supposed to be the anchor. If you know, if her partner is the one providing, there's a lot of high value placed on the dollar, but maybe not enough in the heart.
Oh yeah, the heart for sure. And the heart, and but don't separate. I mean, what you're saying is like the most valuable thing we all can do for each other is to love each other.
Yes.
And the most valuable thing we can do for our kids is to really demonstrate that we love them and we are happy to spend time with them and see them. Not big blocks of time. We've talked about that a little bit in the thing. You don't have to spend hours and hours with your kids, but when you spend time with them in these short bursts, you have to really be present. Mm-hmm. The household logistics mm-hmm. is what there is not enough dollar value placed on. Mm-hmm. Because it's so time consuming. I'm a professional organizer, and so I've been organizing people for 30 years. It's hard to set up systems that really last, right, for people. That and my whole philosophy is you have to organize it based on the kind of unique personality of the person. And once you do, it's much more organic and easy to sustain, and you know, you feel energized by your environment, you feel energized by the structure of your day, you feel free. It's very liberating to be organized, incredibly. And it's very entrapping to be disorganized. You waste time, you waste money, mm-hmm. you're stressed, you don't know where things are, everything mm-hmm. takes 10 times longer. That's for one person. Now multiply that by a 5-person household mm-hmm. where you have 5 different personalities. You have kids with different ages and stages of capability. You have 5 schedules that have to be coordinated. It's so complex. Why we think as a society one person can handle that, in a company, that's the chief operating officer and an entire department of people trying to keep things operating. We put that on one person who's also supposed to be like the big heart and soul of the operation. Those are two opposite, they're two opposite acts. Mm-hmm. Operations is one part of your brain. Mm-hmm. Nurturance is another.
Yep.
And if you don't get relief on the logistics and operational part of your brain, you can't switch to the nurturing part. Mm-hmm. It's just too hard. You're like, I don't have time to play a game. I have to cook. I have to do the food. I have to figure this out. So, you must get help. The logistics of running a house do not belong to one person. They belong to the entire family, not even just both parents. Everybody needs to do it. It's a way of taking care of each other.
And that's actually a perfect segue to my next question and how to divvy up these family chores.
Yeah.
So there's a fantastic game you play, right, with cards where you write everyone's chores or tasks down. I mean, age appropriate.
Yeah.
You know, I have a 3- and a 5-year-old right now. So.
But they can pick up.
Yeah.
They do at school.
Mm-hmm.
They do at school, that's right.
That's right. So Can you quickly go over
that? Yeah, so it's a game I call putting all the cards on the table, because this takes the invisible work of arranging and makes it visible for everybody, because, right?
And awareness is key, right? Because most families aren't even aware, like, not
how
every
much it takes.
How many tasks there are.
That's exactly right. So it's to get it very visible. So you just take a stack of index cards, and on each card you write one chore that is part of logistics. You know, plan meals is on one card. Food shop is another one. Cooking is another. Cleanup is another. I mean, we haven't even gotten past meals and we already have like 8 cards. So you do a big stack of cards and then you sit around the table as a family and you just take the cards one by one and you put it in front of whoever does it. And see how it all lands. Very often there's a very large stack in front of one person. and then you go, okay, and then the whole family sees what's involved. And I think truthfully they just don't realize it. It's not like they know. They don't know. And now they know. And it's like, oh, wow, what do we do about that? And how does this stack that's sitting in front of me keep me from being able to be like a loving spouse and be able to be patient or have time to play with the kids? This is what is in the way. So now what do we do? And you kind of re-divvy up the labor, and you then really, 3-year-olds can put things away. They can help set the table. They can help clean it up. There's lots of things they can do. 5-year-olds can do stuff. In the book, I have age-by-age guides of what chores are appropriate for each age. And you just re-divvy up the labor and then train. You got to train everybody how to do things and make sure the systems are really simple. As simple as, like, no system should be any more complex than a 5-year-old could handle. Can't be fancy. And then everybody's freed up.
Awesome stuff. And now that everyone has freed up on the time, on the chores, what can we do to have more fun and be, you know, more of our...
So the other acronym that I have in the book is SELF, which is the four activities we need to balance our time between to be happy, healthy humans, right? We do 4 for our kids, that's part, and 4 for ourselves, that spells SELF. S-E-L-F. We have to spend time on sleep and become ninja sleepers.
It's like, I need to work on this.
Yes. Right. So, I mean, like, what happens with sleep? Let's go over them and then we can sort of... Yes. So sleep is one. S, then exercise and fitness, so we feel energized and confident and have the energy to keep up with our kids and just feel good about ourselves. L is for love, adult love, like relationship with our spouse, significant others, our friends, our communities, other adults. And F is for fun, which is like our hobbies and our passions and the activities that whenever we do them, we are instantly relaxed and we feel like us. S-E-L-F. And you want in your personal time, which you must fold into every day. This is not something you do like when the kids have play dates and your spouse is working late, that's when you steal time for yourself. No, you have to fold self-care into every single day to have the energy and the brain power to go the distance, to be able to do your part for your kids. You need to refuel regularly, not once in a blue moon. And so in the book, I talk about how you can, other than sleep, you can, for exercise, love, and fun, learn how to do it in smaller doses. Like, you're not going to do your hobbies all day on Saturday and Sunday. Like, those days are over once you have kids. But you can do 20 or 30 minutes, you know, in the evening or on the weekends. And your relationship with your spouse, you don't need date night to sustain your relationship. You need short bursts after the kids go to sleep for 20 minutes to just check in with each other and spend some true quality time and not just everybody get back on their computers. Right? So we have to learn how to do self-care in small doses, but regularly.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I feel like I'm running out of time, But I wanted to thank you so much for sharing your pearls of wisdom. And this is phenomenal. I think that my moms would be greatly appreciative of having this, these tips and tools and strategies to implement them in their daily lives. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
I think that the one thing I would say is this. This book, Time to Parent, is really not just about how to be a good parent. It's about how to balance raising a human and being a human, which is really what the parenting years are about. It's you can't sacrifice yourself completely for your kids, because then you're not going to really have the wherewithal to really be there for your kids. And this whole idea of short bursts of attention delivered consistently, 20 minutes or less to your kids, it nurtures your kids, and it nurtures yourself. And if you can learn to change the texture of your life and lower your expectations in terms of, I mean, exercise doesn't have to be 90 minutes three times a week. You don't have to go to, yes, you should go to yoga class, but you should go to yoga class. But you can also do yoga at home for under 10 minutes a day to maintain your practice.
Absolutely. You can meditate. You can do things that are even yoga beyond the mat, right? You can meditate. You can have more heart-to-heart conversations.
Yeah.
And it's really about being aware and managing your time and energy and resources.
Right.
Absolutely.
Don't try to do big blocks of anything. Mm-hmm. Small blocks, fully present. Mm-hmm. And then you'll come back to it again. And that accumulation is what makes kids feel loved and makes you feel nurtured.
So awesome. Thank you so very much.
My pleasure.
So, folks, you can find Time to Parent by Julie Morgenstern on Amazon.com. And you can also please check out her website, and I will post the links on this blog. Thanks for listening to Conversations with me, Yvette Jane. If you like our show and want to know more, check out Julie Morgenstern's book, Time to Parent. I posted the links to her book and website on my blog, YvetteJane.com. Join us next week when we talk about managing big emotions from little people with Dr. Stephanie Samar from the Child Mind Institute.